Let's see. I guess if I were to give an estimate, I'd say about 300. Yes, I suppose I am responsible for about 300 deaths. I first lived in Budapest for many wonderful years of my life. I was married and a midwife, but had no children of my own. But one day I woke up and my husband that was given to me when I was just 13 years old, was nowhere to be found. I didn't know how to go on until I decided to move to the beautiful Narev, probably 60 miles southeast of Budapest. There was farm life everywhere, and I quickly became friends with all of the women in this small area. With no husband, I felt so much love from everyone in the village, and because of my practices as a midwife, I became the closest thing to the doctor in the village. The longer I spent there, the more the women in the village began to confide in me. Young girls, barely 11 years old, were being married off to awful men, four times their age. Men that would beat them with anything they could get their hands on. Men that would come home drunk and just demand sex. There was no escape, for divorce was socially unacceptable, and you would be left with nothing because the families keep the money. As these women grew and bore unwanted children, I would have to help them bring life into a world they did not want any child to be a part of. Sometimes, the girls would be so young, or the women too distraught to care for any child, that I would assist in abortions, simply to ease their mind and calm them until they became pregnant again. My heart ached for every unhappy woman in that village, until the day the men went to fight in the war. The very first world war for Austria-Hungary. Because Naira was so rural, we were the perfect spot for prisoners of war, and although it may seem grim, the women were never happier. Affairs with the foreigners became so common it was bragged about among the women in the village. Smiles were seen on faces I thought would crack if they ever chuckled. The women were finally in good spirits. But then came the day the husbands came back, and although they quickly discovered the affairs, they expected everything to go back to how it used to be. The abuse began once again, and women became more and more displeased and depressed. I knew I could do something. I was considered a doctor. I knew I should do something to bring back joy into these women's lives. And so I did. I began making arsenic, small amounts, by boiling the lethal residue off of flypaper strips and then having it delivered to their homes. The women could do with it what they pleased, put it into their husband's nightly drink, slip it into their morning tea or coffee. Before I knew it, we were the murder district. Women were smiling, husbands were dying. But no suspicion would rise, for my cousin was the clerk who filed death certificates, and I was a doctor. If something was questioned by an authority poking his nose in circumstances he did not understand, it was easily covered up, and they would turn around and leave the village. Women were given a chance to escape the dreadful situation they were stuck in. Yes, they began giving it to family members, and yes, even children, but they needed a fresh start. They needed a clean slate, one without having to fear for their own life, one where they could live.
Eventually, after this had gone on for about 18 years, an investigation was once again started, and this time, it was successful in convicting over 30 of the women involved in poisoning their supposed loved ones. Julia Fizakis, the leader whose voice was betrayed, ended up committing suicide by poisoning herself, and many of the other women involved were either given the death sentence or put into prison for life. These women were imprisoned for wanting to live their own lives, without having to constantly submit to the patriarchal figure and the demands of their families. They are now known as the Angel Makers of Narev.